you will not have a right time to do things. These market cycles will always be there. So extremely bullish is not good for you. Extremely bearish is not good for you. The only thing that you can do is to focus on your vision, focus on your mission, and then keep the community, informed.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Balthazar NFT Gaming Podcast. This is episode 19, and today Nico and I are joining Sereni to talk about Bullyverse. Bullyverse is bringing multiple types of games to the table in their own type of metaverse, including games that can be played both on PC and mobile devices. So sit back and enjoy as we dig deeper with the founder Sereni about Bullyverse. Well, welcome everyone to the Balthazar NFT Gaming Podcast. Today I have Nico with me from Balthazar and of course our lovely guest Sereni from Bullyverse. So Sereni, how's it going? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your project Bullyverse?
Yes, of course. It's going great. That's what everyone says, right? But actually, it's actually going really great. So why it is going great? So I'll start with introducing myself first. I'm Srini. I'm co-founder of Bullyverse. I like to call myself as a herd champion. Like, we're a herd of bulls, and I'm kind of helping our herd, go in the right direction. So I live in London. I've been here for more than a decade. I worked in previously in my past corporate life, worked in investment banks like Goldman Sachs, UBS as a software engineer, built tech there. And back in 2016, I was part of a team building an Oracle for smart contracts and how I got into Web3 really. And this rabbit hole is deep, right? So never happened to come out of it yet. So going deeper and deeper. And I've been an engineer, entrepreneur, investor, community member in this space. I truly believe in it. I truly believe in decentralization, blockchain, and how it can empower the citizens, users of this ecosystem. And after around 2018, 2019, I worked on a DeFi protocol to create a peer-to-peer lending for ERC-20 tokens, launched it at the brutal bear market, and no users. So, but I think the market dynamics changed more than peer-to-peer lending. Actually, protocol to lending actually took off like Compound, if you see. Some good learning lessons there. And also did a pivot to create an enterprise blockchain, worked with a state government to build algorithmically verifiable credit scores. Did some cool work, got some rewards and stuff like that, but it didn't become a business that we can monetize and, make it successful, particularly with the pandemic, right? So it kind of killed a lot of dinosaurs in this world. So lockdowns happened to kill a lot of us playing Fortnite myself. I've been playing games since I was 8 years old. Started with Mario, right? And then,
there you go.
In between I was like studies, college, and a lot of things like work. But again, lockdown is kind of that moment where, you get a bunch of time. You already are, out of my first startup, which didn't take off. And I was involved in crypto and Web3 naturally, got into NFTs here around that time, and happened to buy a Bored Ape early April, joined that community, and I've seen how these NFTs are an incredibly amazing tool at creating online communities, and wanted to create my ape into a 3D avatar, right? Actually, I wanted to play a Fortnite or such kind of games with this avatar, and I spent more than what I actually bought that NFT for, to create a 3D model and animate it, right? And such a pleasure in seeing your NFT that you own come to life. And wanted to share that kind of a joy, right? To people who actually own these NFTs, assets. And for a gamer truly to own his avatar or any kind of in-game asset, I understand that, right? So that's why one of the reasons we started Bullyverse with this vision to create a gaming ecosystem. And there is a lot more than gaming to it, right? But we start with NFTs as a primitive building block there and take it forward from there. So that's my journey and how, got into Bullyverse and why we started it. I'll just pause there for a minute.
Yeah, no, I love it. That's a really cool story. And it sounds like you've been in this space for quite a while and have a lot of experience. And it's interesting. How do you think some of those maybe past failures or those projects that didn't survive. How does that help you now with this new project?
Sure. So one thing I definitely truly understood is when you build anything in Web3, you need to build with the community, for the community first. And that's the approach we took with Bullyverse. Like we did an enterprise blockchain stuff, and really the users are not there to use these products, right? This tech is too complicated. Like, you know, you want to build it for the right people and then grow from there and then onboard people from Web2. So that's something that I've learned a hard lesson there. And apart from that, also like a few assumptions that we took while creating the peer-to-peer lending was basically like, you know, what works in Web2 might not work in Web3, right? You could see big industries successful in peer-to-peer lending in Web2. But when you introduce Web3, the dynamics change. The tech enables you to do things that are beyond possible in Web2, right? So you see Compound, Aave, and a lot of cool stuff coming out. Uniswap, for example, AMMs. So that's what Web3 is. You know, it's not about porting the existing Web2 tech here and building it for the wrong people, but innovating with what you can do these with new tools and how you can build with the right audience who understands how to use these and then grow from there. So that's the approach we are taking, and that's what I learned.
Yeah. I love to hear that, because I think it's super important as we at Balthazar look at these NFT gaming projects, we look at the experience of not only have they built a game before, but how much Web3 experience do they have? Because you're right, it's just a totally different world. It's a totally different space for building a game, for building an NFT project. It's such a different beast to, or bull, I guess, to try to figure out.
You're 100% bang on there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you knew this, but I was actually at NFT NYC. I don't know if you were there as well, but I saw the team there. I got to meet a couple of your team members there and play the game. It was actually one of the first games that at the conference I actually got to try gameplay. Like, there's maybe 5 total games with gameplay there. So it was kind of cool to play the bear hunt game. And then now I know you guys got the, what is it called? The Necrodemic game. So what's the response been from the community so far towards those two games?
So first thing, I think like appreciate that you tried our game at NFT NYC, and we did a couple of conferences, like non-fungible conference in Lisbon as well. Having a product helped us, you know, get some attention during these conferences. And really the approach that we always, you know, wanted, like took with Bullyverse, is not to take a couple of years, build a massive game and launch it, right? We want to build with the community, and we want to build it in Web3 ways, where, you know, like we give our NFT holders in access early and get feedback, you know, and build games going forward. I'll talk about our approach and why we are building more games going into the future. But about Necrodemic, the response has been amazing. Like we conducted a couple of tournaments in our community, and there is one happening with Merit Circle. Like people are competing to rank up, and the you know, kind of another couple of tournaments are happening as well, like one with IndieGG, one of the Web3 gaming guilds from India, and Good Games Guild, who is from Southeast Asia. But there are more, and happy to share that as we, you know, go into the discussions.
I love to hear about the esports stuff. Obviously, for those that don't know, I'm the chief gaming officer at Balthazar, and I come from a professional background in League of Legends. I was the head coach for Fnatic, Origin, and Innocent Pajamas. And I always get so happy hearing about games already planning tournaments, already hosting tournaments. You know, even if the product or the game isn't fully finished, just starting that initial hype, you start getting people coming in, people start getting expectations of future tournaments to come, and you get those competitive people in at an early stage. That's sort of my entire history with esports. Like I've chased games in early developments where it's visible that the game company want to push for esports. I'd love to hear more on the esports angle or competitive angle. How much focus is there towards competition? Like how much does that matter for Bullyverse as a whole?
So, I mean, one thing that's very close to my heart is how the esports as it exists today is fundamentally going to be disrupted with Web3, right? We have some special tools here. Right now, existing esports, the incentives are not always aligned. Like you need to pay players a premium, right? A salary, irrespective of how your org is functioning. And you got to bear a lot of costs as an organization who conducts these tournaments to build your IP. And the incentives are not aligned with the game publishers and the organizations themselves and the players always. But it's in a vibrant, amazing community, right? If we could align these incentives properly, leveraging Web3, and kind of bring in the market, open marketplace effects into this ecosystem, this is going to take off in a big way. And a lot of competitions could be conducted very seamlessly, and new IP can be created by players across the globe for a very minimal cost. So that's a fundamental change that's going to happen. And that's the reason why we are launching competitions. We are always looking at creating that competitive element into the games using, and the reason why we are going to DreamHack Hyderabad event this week, happening between 4th and 6th. There are about 20,000 gamers across India going to come. And the content that's streamed from there is potentially going to get 20 million views across Indian gaming ecosystem, right? And this is a huge audience, and I'm just talking about India here, but there are a lot more if you go into Vietnam, Philippines, and Indonesia and other locations, and not to forget about US and Latin America, right? Like and Africa in fact. So we have these different ecosystems, IPs across the world, building esports titles and players to compete against. But I think this whole dynamic is going to change when this becomes a free market and open, and for people to create new kind of titles, IP for competing, and anybody can participate from any part of the world. So that's something that I'm very excited about.
That's incredible. And I think, as you say things like, hey, there's this like 20 million viewers here that we can tap into, I'm thinking about like Web3 gaming is probably just a couple million in general, like across all games right now. It's not very big. So if you get Bullyverse in front of these, big crowds or this many eyeballs, how do you guys kind of advertise the game? Is it just, hey, we are putting on these competitions in esports? How much do you think it's important to talk about your NFTs or your tokens and more of the Web3 gaming elements as you do these tournaments and competitions?
Sure. So, the way how we are approaching is, one, we want to make the onboarding process fairly easier, simple. Obviously, creating a wallet is not too complicated, but managing the private keys, right? You could quickly create a wallet in a couple of clicks, but how are you going to secure your keys? And like the moment you put money in, then, you need to be careful. So we are working with a Sequence wallet to integrate that we already done, so which enables us to onboard Web2 gamers. They can come and create a Web3 wallet using their social login, so using Google, Discord, or their Twitch account, for example. And that wallet is completely non-custodial and enables them to come and jump into this Web3 game. And again, for Necrodemic, we're going to make it free to play and introducing a new economic model, right? So our previous game, Bear Hunt, was only for NFT holders with a play-to-mint experience. With an Acrodemic, the experience is going to be free-to-play, but again, there are different kinds of benefits you get by having NFTs, different kinds of special tournaments you could access, and also rent it to other players as well down the line. So that's the approach we are taking with these particularly with the DreamHack tournament. We'll be hosting a tournament between top gaming influencers. And usually, like a lot of gamers, they kind of follow the influencers a lot, right? And as you rightly mentioned, the Web3 gaming, it's not the people, but it's the wallets that are interacting, right? We don't know how many wallets they have. And we don't know how many bots are there. And we really don't, we'll never know how many people are actually playing Web3 games. What we can potentially look at is how much revenues these protocols are generating could be potentially going forward, something that could materialize the growth of these games, right? But right now, we just need to rely on some numbers, and those numbers are largely, you know, could be bots, could be people having multiple accounts. But largely, I think the numbers are very, very small right now. And that's the opportunity here, right? You have new kind of games where people can monetize their playtime. I mean, not like, you know, it could be fun as well, right? So I think that's the potential that exists today, and that's the opportunity we're going for.
I love that. I also think a very interesting topic that I would love to talk a bit more about here is the Indian gaming market and Indian esports and competitive Indian gaming. From my League of Legends history, I can't recall any Indian League of Legends teams. I don't know if India had their own league or whether they participated. I don't know if they even have one today. I actually don't believe so, but I know that Fnatic back a few years ago, they hosted some sort of event in India as one of the first esports team who really started pushing from the more well-known esports teams. And I've seen, especially in the mobile market and the mobile gaming market, that the Indian esporters, they're coming and there's a lot of them. So I'd love to hear like more of your insight for those that don't know or are not familiar with the gaming market and the potential for esports out of India.
Sure. I believe that Web3 is going to bring a lot of new people into gaming industry instead of replacing existing gamers into Web3 gamers, right? I think at least initially we are going to bring the more percentage of people that are playing Web3 games could be new ones coming into gaming itself, right? So that's potential opportunity here. There are like one thing I'm very bullish about in general is with the mobile games and the opportunity of bringing new people into this ecosystem, right? So like if you see like PUBG Mobile is quite popular in India, and obviously, if you look at esports, I think I would imagine that Valorant is one of the biggest, like games that a lot of folks use for competitions. But yeah, in general, I think mobile is definitely going to be a huge, important opportunity. And the regulations and particularly the App Store related, rules and terms and conditions are changing, right? They are evolving, and we've seen Apple has introduced a few things like pricing on buying these NFTs. So you need to use Apple's payment system, which charges you a tax, and you need to figure out how to work around these. But end of the day, it largely is evolving in a positive direction. Though short term, there is going to be a hit for Web3 game publishers to their bottom line, where they need to pay extra fees, right? But at the same time, it's an incredible tool to access more people, and as long as you navigate and figure out ways to execute in this boundaries, so you'll be able to get to more players. So that's something that we're really bullish on, and our next game, which is a multiplayer game, is going to be mobile native as well. So it's going to be on iOS and Android first, and then we launch the PC along with it, PC and Mac along with it.
Yeah, that's great to hear, because I was just about to ask you, are you guys working on any mobile games? Because I know the Bear Hunt and the Necro, is on desktop. So what is that mobile game going to be like? Have you revealed the...
So we don't have a name yet. So right now, internally, we are calling it as Project Longhorn. And we have we potentially looking at an alpha available by end of this year, and that's right now have like private lobbies where you can invite 24 of your friends, and then we'll look at scaling that. That's in each single lobby, right? But we can have a million concurrent players playing in different lobbies. So right now, the focus is to get a playable version into the hands of our NFT community, get early feedback by end of this year, and then expand that gameplay and add more content, more features into the game, and roll that out.
Cool. Sounds great. Well, Sereni, I know you said before we went live here that you're okay with a hard question. So I got a hard question for you, okay? Are you ready? So one of the things that I always think about when I see these projects saying, hey, we're not just building one game, we're building a metaverses, you know, multiple games. We're going to have, you know, just game after game expand our metaverse. And so I think that's a really cool concept because you can take your NFT from one game to the next game and, you know, just experience multiple things with your one NFT. The downside I can see, the potential, the negative is if you're focusing on so many different games, so many different projects, are you maybe potentially not getting that one really good quality game or, you know, paying attention just to one project so that you can make it the best game possible? So how do you think about that balance?
Awesome. That's a great question. And a hard one for sure. So the way we are looking at it, we built Bear Hunt, right? By building Bear Hunt, we built a lot of integrations with respect to the talking to, you know, a blockchain and getting NFT details and showing the user their NFTs. And then creating these 10,000 different unique 3D avatars with different traits, created animations, created weapon mechanics, right? And we used a large chunk of that work for our next game, Necrodamic, right? It's again, like we introduced new elements here. While building this new game, we also launched our own native marketplace. We built the smart contracts, backend APIs, frontend UX to access the marketplace, right? All in-house. And with the Necrodamic, we introduced more features, more tech in-house, a wardrobe system to choose your NFT in-game assets like wearables and on-chain loot boxes and the leaderboard mechanism. So a lot of things like player accounts, like, you know, potentially leading into more social experience down the line. So the why I'm explaining this is with every game, we are building tech that we are going to leverage forward. So with the multiplayer game that we are working, one, we are building experiences for mobile. We are introducing onboarding experiences where you don't need a Web3 wallet. We can create it for you using your social login. And this is a multiplayer game, so we'll be building tech for enabling such games and experiences. We'll be adding voice chat and other features, social interaction. When you combine all this tech, you're already very close to building a metaverse experience, right? Like you have this massively multiplayer virtual world, you have social to like interaction, and you have your own avatars, and you can interact with friends and other community members, host events. So that's kind of an experience we could build. And then what else we can do? Like, can we give these tools to other developers and ask them to, you know, see what they build? Can we open up the ecosystem? And can we invite independent developers to access this huge audience of Web3 gamers who are already on this ecosystem? It's an awesome distribution channel, right? Like, if you want to build a Web2 game, you go to Steam. If you're building a Web3 game, where are you going, right? You can't access players today, like, unless you do user acquisition completely, come up with a new plan and go to events and, you know, onboard influencers and do a lot of marketing, all such things. So we could give all that for new developers to build content, build games and launch, use our marketplace, use our launchpad and a bunch of other tools, right? So that's what I'm looking at, like how we are building tech leading into that future and how each game is going to help us get one step closer to that vision. Hope I answered your hard question.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great answer. And, you know, I think part of it I was seeing on your website too, that you can, as you were saying, bring in other developers, or you're kind of advertising, hey, creators, come in and build onto our metaverse. And so I guess I'm kind of picturing, you know, kind of this like either in Fortnite where you go in and you can see all the created games here in one list, or in Minecraft, you can jump into different servers and try the multitude of games that people have already built into their, you know, metaverse, if you want to call it that. And I'm picturing that's kind of what the same is coming for Bullyverse. Am I right?
Exactly. So, I mean, today, if you want to build a competitor for Fortnite in Web3, I think the right approach is not building a game that takes another couple of years to, you know, develop. I think the right approach is to start with something very simple. You know, everybody wants to add all the cool things, emotes and a lot of functionality into the game, right? Adds time, effort, and increases your timelines to put this experience in the hands of community. And you don't know if they like it or not. So the best approach is to, you know, continue to deliver in bits, like with a minimum gameplay, add new features, add a social interaction, soulbound tokens to for player progression, experiment with a lot of Web3 tech while you are doing that, you know, content part with the games. So that's the approach I think is the right approach. But, you know, we'll see in a couple of years which is the right one. So the approach that we are taking is to continuously iterate and build with the community.
I love that. I think that's something when we've been doing our research and looking into games for the last year, something that we always put a lot of effort into is to checking up on the transparency of the project and, you know, the credibility. And our recommendations for all games as well is to, you know, give timestamp updates. Like, the more progression you can show continuously, just prove that you're doing something. And you're taking it to the next level by, yeah, we don't have a finished product, but come try it. You know, you're opening it up and you're including the community. And I think that's how you get those early users who become, you know, your adversaries.
Fans, huh?
Yeah. Hardcore fans. And they just push your project and word by mouth. And they're going to be the most loyal players that you're ever going to get. I love that approach.
So, yeah, we took it to another extent as well. Like a lot of our team members in Believers, they've actually minted an NFT. And then they become our community member in the Discord, seeing our demos and work we're doing, and then they joined our team. Like our game director, right, is from our community, and our head of community and growth is from our community. And I'm super proud to share this, because what we essentially did was we didn't launch a 10,000 PFP collection. We launched our vision and we said, guys, this is where we are going. And people who believed and liked it jumped and joined the team, and to build, you know, to be part of that, building our spaceship, right? So doing all the hard work today. So yeah, that's really the power of Web3. You know, like you could use your NFTs in multiple ways. You could use it to rug people, or you could use to bring your vision to life. We took the latter approach.
I hope so.
Good. Yeah.
So to bring it back to the start, all of your games have some sort of reference to bulls, the animal, a bull with horns. What's this all about? What's the story behind that?
Yeah. So, like, the reason why it's bull, right? Like, we call it as Believer, like, in a sense, like a believer, right? In NFTs and gaming, let's say. And we wanted a heroic character, right? With strong arms, you know, like we are building a bunch of shooter games. That's pretty much was the initial idea, to build shooter games. Probably we'll do more casual games and maybe hyper casual games down the line. But wanted a heroic character, wanted something that we could create lore and, you know, get community excited even before we have a game. So bull and bear are iconic characters, and we wanted to create a game around that. Like, you know, it quickly becomes a kind of stories that community members tell to each other, create memes, you know, create a fun kind of a dialogue in Discord. And also the whole bear hunt, where you go find bear, shoot, and then get a bear NFT as a reward. Like, you know, it we thought it was quite a cool idea to start building this. And then we see how it evolves from there, right?
Yeah, I like it. I think it's really kind of a fun thing to do. And, you know, especially in this market, you guys are kind of the last bulls left. I mean, everyone else is doom and gloom, all bearish, you know, which, you know, I do want to hear from you. You know, are there certain lessons that you guys have learned in this bear market? And I think a lot of people, you know, I read tweets and articles all the time that are like, oh, we're in this bear market. A lot of these games pumped out of nowhere last year, and you know, in a couple of years, they're all going to be dead and gone. They're not going to survive this bear market. What is your response to that? What is your take on this market, and how does that affect you guys at Bullyverse?
So, I mean, when we launched our NFT collection, right after that, there was a massive NFT bull run, right? That didn't end up really good for us. Like, so much noise. Every day, people are trying to mint the next new big thing, right? And too much pressure on the team on when we'll get a game. Like, you know, building an Unreal Engine game is not easy. Building anything in Web3 with smart contracts is not easy. And managing a community is not easy. And you are doing multiple complex things at once. And then the whole market is vibing. Like, you know, some of their collections are like pumping like crazy, right? So it puts a lot of pressure on the team to deliver and keep the community, you know, engaged while there is so much chatter. It's hard to get distracted, right? But we want to keep our community active and stay focused and believe in our vision. Then the bear market comes. We launched our token this time, right? It got listed in KuCoin, Hobby. Quite a good reception on the initial launch. After that, quickly, Terra exploded. And then, you know, we saw what happened with 3AC and a lot of contagion on the market with Celsius and a lot of CeFi institutions going bankrupt. We didn't predict that. And obviously, the noise has gone. And now people are not interested. So now it's another challenge to keep the community active, engaged with what you're building, right? So you will not have a right time to do things. These market cycles will always be there. So extremely bullish is not good for you. Extremely bearish is not good for you. The only thing that you can do is to focus on your vision, focus on your mission, and then keep the community, you know, informed. Like, do beyond what you could do to keep them informed. Like, you're going to get delayed. Those are the things like I definitely, probably if I'm doing this again or go back into the future, like, I would take time to explain our community that building this first game is not so easy. Like, you know, we are a brand new studio. We assembled quite a good team. We're playing with a lot of challenging tech. We are working incredibly hard, but still it is a complex thing. But we managed to come out of the other end of it. Like, we launched the game. We proved the people who said we're not going to do and rugging this, right? Wrong. And we continue to build the other game, which is now live in beta. And then there is another one coming end of this year in alpha. So yeah, I mean, right now it looks very, you know, like easy for us at this point, right? But it's not easy like that. It's always been a challenge, and I foresee that it's going to be a challenge. But we'll continue to focus on a mission, keep our community motivated. Like, we get new people joining our ecosystem as we go along. And, you know, the plan is to bring a new, you know, gamers into Web3 NFTs, bring 1 million new people into crypto. So that's my ultimate mission, right? So I'm a big believer in this tech. So gaming is has a huge potential there, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Sereni, I think I gotta be honest with you, that was probably some of the best wisdom we've had on this podcast yet. I mean, tell by what you're responding with that you've been in this crypto space for quite some time, and I think that's just really good wisdom for anyone in the space, right? There is no good key magic time that is going to fix all your problems, right? There's pros and cons to a bull market. There's pros and cons to a bear market. And as long as you're smart and you keep building, that's what's going to, you know, bring that long-term success. So I love that vision you guys are building out there.
And keep staying in touch with your community. Like, before you joined the call and before we started this podcast, me and Luke was just discussing another project. I won't name it, but it was a really good looking project, and at some point they just stopped giving updates. I hope that they're still building, but I just don't know, and nobody in the community knows. And it's like, you're never going to be able to rebuild that bridge when you just leave. And people can forgive anything. Just give updates. Just keep talking to your community. Be open, be honest, share progress, share pictures, you know, jump on interviews, like, come with updates, like, do whatever you can. It matters. That even if you lose 50% of your followers, the remaining 50%, they're likely to stay there if you keep going. And those are the ones that matters. And I just, yes, it is difficult. Yes, it does require time. Yes, it does require energy. But I feel like you lose so much if you don't maintain your community. And even if your community reduces, it is still worth its weight in gold. So I appreciate and agree very heavily with what you said, and it's something that we see consistently. And also what we've seen during the entire bear market is that the projects that keep a high transparency maintain the majority of their followers and have a happier community, and also are more likely to get sales if they do any sort of NFT sales. Like the amount of information that people can find out about your project directly impacts your selling power if you are selling now. So, I love that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, definitely. It's my own personal opinion to that is it's definitely going to these interviews and or going to an event, meeting people, spreading a word about what you're building is hard, right? I mean, as a founder, one thing that I have very limited access to is an extra hour time, right? So we all are bound by that, and like if somebody gives me an half an hour time of their time, you know, even to do a small catch up meeting, I feel that incredibly what thankful for them, right? So it's same goes with my time as well, and as a founder, it's important that you do these things. Like I'm quite an introvert, and this is against my natural way where I go and talk to people and share my ideas, but I have to do it, right? Do it for the community. I do it for the vision that I want to bring to life, though it is hard. So yeah, and particularly thank you to both of you for making it, you know, much easier for me to share what is there in my mind. And I'm looking forward to my talk in NFT London as well, right? on Thursday this week. So yeah, I mean, definitely, like you should definitely go and talk about what you're building. Otherwise, nobody will know.
I love that. I wanted to ask, I think we haven't talked about your team size and your more expanded team. We've talked a bit about different team members that you picked up from the community. How large is Bulliverse team right now? What sort of roles are you hiring? What sort of roles are you looking for? And how is it looking for the next couple of months, like team size wise?
So something that we are mindful from the beginning was to really focus on the culture fit into the team. And hiring someone from community is quite easy. Like, you know, the reason is they already believe in your vision, right? And they're coming here because they want to be part of this. And, you know, it's such an amazing way for getting people, but you can't find all the different kinds of skills and you want to build things like, you know, games and Web3 stuff. So what we did was we started bringing people as freelancers. And then once we see a culture fit, we kind of get them as a permanent, you know, like longer term commitment into the team. And initially we had some aggressive timelines for us to deliver the game. So we kind of took this approach, which worked well. Like we figured out whose strength is what. And then ultimately end of the day, you should be in a, like as a founder, like what you want to do is to bring, you know, talented people and then let them do what they love to do, right? And empower them to do it. So as long as you do that right, I think that's pretty much your half job done. So and that's pretty much what we did. Like, you know, we got a lot of people from team in India as well, like who come from one of the prestigious institutions in India, which is IIT, and they've left their offers from Microsoft and other big companies and joined a very small startup like Bulliverse, right? It's such an honor to even say that these young people, they believe in what we're building and want to take part in this. Yeah. And I mean, the why it happened was actually when we were working on the NFTs art and initial promos, we obviously bootstrapping with our own costs, right? So we wanted to get final year college grads from top Indian institutions. So you know, the costs are minimal, but you get the best of the best skills on board. So that's pretty much how those guys got involved early. And then they don't want to go back. Like, you know, they don't want to go to any other big office, they want to stick here and continue building this, which proves a point that, you know, we have an amazing culture and we want to make sure that that's preserved. So in terms of new hirings, like pretty much we are looking for getting engineers for building the tech on the multiplayer aspects for the new game, and also looking into the future, right? So we want to add a lot of social tools as well that we can leverage going down the line. So we hired some engineers from Zynga and Moonfrog, which are like one of the big game publishers based out of India. So you got a lot of talented people in different parts of the world. We are a remote team, so we could hire from anywhere. But we are making sure that, you know, that culture fit is there. That is important as well.
Yeah, it's good to hear about the team and what you guys got planned ahead for bringing on more members. I'm excited for Bullyverse. I just want to hear kind of, can you give us some teases as well, not just about the team, but about the project as a whole? Anything coming up in the next couple months that we should be excited about as gamers?
Yeah, so I think definitely the one most important thing is we are launching a $25,000 tournament, prize pool tournament, which is going to happen in first or second week of December. And there will be a bunch of smaller competitions that will happen over the next month. With different gaming guilds, with esports orgs, with we are also hosting a few tournaments in gaming cafes as well. We're hosting an event in London, so there will be different smaller tournaments. And the way we are looking at is you know, how we can empower anybody in this world, in any part of this world, to quickly create an Web3 championship tournament. Right? We give them all tools. We give them the game as well, so they could even monetize that. No, how cool is that? So we want to go in that direction and explore with Necrodemic and see what happens. Definitely the big tournament, $25,000 prize pool, is something very interesting. So if you're a gamer, join there and compete with other Web3 gamers and Web2 gamers. Apart from that, so we are looking to kind of add multiplayer capabilities down the line to the games that we build. So and going to mobile and to iOS and Apple as well, potentially Steam Deck. That looks quite cool. Like we are finding ways on how we can reach more gamers, you know, make it much easier for them to come and join. So yeah, that's pretty much what's coming next.
What do you need to do to join the tournament? Like, if I want to join the tournament, what do I need to do? Run me through it.
Yeah, so you got to go to app.bullyverse.com, our website, so sign up and create an account. That's all. So we'll remind you when the tournament starts, and just play. Great. Download
simple
and play
simple enough. How do you guys reward? Is it within your own token, or are you guys paying out in a different way?
The prize pool will have multiple things. Like, there will be USDC tokens, NFTs as well, and also like raffle tickets as well. So even if you are not ranking at the number one, right, by participating and hitting a minimum score, you could get an raffle ticket and some prizes with that. So like, you know, rewarding as many of them as possible, but also at the same time making it very interesting for top prizes as well.
I think that's key.
Yeah, it's key. But I also like that you guys are doing the raffles, because I don't think I'll ever hit the top of the leaderboard with the skills that I have. So
that's good, Luke. So you can try for the raffle and I'll try for the number one. Yeah,
there we go. You and the rest of the Alpha team, you guys take the leaderboard. I'll get the raffles. That's great. Any other, you're talking about gameplay. Is there any excitement or any potential sales coming up as far as land? Are you guys doing any more NFTs or things on the roadmap coming soon? Or is that kind of further out in the future?
Yeah, one thing our community are excited about is our new collection. Like, we had, we keep getting some chatter around that. But really, even with respect to land sale, right? We want to build tech first and then do the land sale after, and not sale before and tech first. That'll be one of the reasons why the land sale would happen, when these people who are buying the land can experience and see how it is going to be. And I'm sure they're going to be thrilled. But with the new collection, obviously we are looking at the mobile game and introduce some kind of a character that we could leverage, particularly with mobile casual games down the line as well. So that's something that we are actively pursuing. But really the focus right now is to make Necrodemic a huge success, like get more players on board, create the distribution channel that doesn't exist in Web3 today. And that's a laser focus, and any kind of sale is not a top priority for the team right now.
Great. Well, best of luck to you guys and the team, and I'm excited to see what's ahead. I think that's most of the questions I had. Nico, anything else that was on your mind?
Yeah, I think we're crossing about 45 minutes here, if I'm correct. I think I guess a good place to leave off is that you kind of in a sneaky way mentioned that you were speaking at NFT London this week. This is being recorded on the 1st of November, so that is Thursday the 3rd of November. This might be released after that, but can you talk like just for a minute about what's happening there, what are you going to be talking about, and why is that important?
So what I'm excited about is obviously you will get all the people who love NFTs, right? And I love NFTs. The reason why I bullish on this tech is that it can empower people to have a digital ownership, right? Property access to digital assets that's otherwise not possible with Web2. And you're going to see like-minded people who are interested in this space. That's something that I'm really excited. And the plan is to, we'll have a booth, we'll showcase our games that we built. People can come and play them and see for themselves. And the talk is pretty much, it's a short talk, so I'm going to talk about what we built, like pretty much what we covered in this call, right? Share the passion, you know, and see if anybody gets inspired and want to come and join us, or, you know, like some, you know, any feedback, questions. Like ultimately, this is very, very, very early stages in this whole new ecosystem, right? And nobody has answers for all the questions. We are all figuring out. We are all trying to learn. We are all experimenting. Some things will fail. Some things will become huge successes. And the only thing that you could do is to keep trying, keep asking, keep you know, sharing what you know, getting feedback. That's exactly what we're going to do.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the time.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you, Sereni. It was great talking to you, hear more about Bullyverse. I could definitely tell your passion for the project. Your honesty today was great, and just really appreciate those answers. So thanks for helping our community understand Bullyverse. Last thing, where would you point people listening to come and find you guys? Your website, Discord, Twitter, what's the best place to connect with Bullyverse?
Yeah, the Discord is the best place. That's where we have these public beach, like we imagine our Discord as an island, right? A metaverse island. We all are like living as citizens there. So if you have an NFT and verify your ownership, you get access to a private island, so where you can talk to other citizens. And otherwise you can pop over to the beach, talk to, you know, everybody else there. But that's a place to come and hang out and figure out our. If you have any questions, our community will be more than happy to answer them. They've always been helpful for new people joining the ecosystem. So that's a place to go. And you can find the links on our website, Twitter.
Perfect. We'll link those all in the video and podcast information below. But Sereni, thanks again. Super fun having you. Love the ideas that you guys are bringing out here today. And hopefully we'll hear from you again sometime later.
Sure, thank you very much. And great work you guys are doing with Balthazar and you know, the research work that's goes into this space. It's quite important, right? And with so many projects and coming up every day, it's quite hard to figure out what is, you know, what is what. And you guys are doing the hard job. I think very critical for a nascent space which is just, you know, going to grow now. So appreciate you guys for what you're doing, and really thankful for bringing me onto the stage and, you know, asking hard questions as well. And hopefully, you know, it went well. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that's going to be it for today's episode. If you stayed this long, then please go check out Bullyverse. Links will be in the description. And as well, on Balthazar's website, you can find more resources, including our launch pad and our research. But for now, that's going to be it. I'll see you guys at one of these other videos around me. Thank you, Salamat Gracias, for tuning in. I'll see you over there.